Welcome back to another episode of Mike and Pete's Stack Slate College Basketball. Not only tonight, but also this weekend in week one of the season. Tonight, North Carolina versus the Kansas Jayhawks. Number one versus number nine in Allen Fieldhouse tonight. You know, good, big matchup to open the first week of the season. Definitely an interesting one. Jayhawks rarely lose at home. North Carolina coming off of a 14-point defeat over Elon. Didn't look great, but Kansas dominated their first game. And now, a big matchup in Allen Fieldhouse. Mike, how are you feeling about this one?
I'm excited. I really am looking forward to seeing how these teams play. I think a huge advantage for Kansas is on the interior. I think Hunter Dickinson, I don't think UNC has anyone to match up with Hunter Dickinson. I just feel like he has a great game. Really interested to see how Kansas approaches guarding RJ Davis. It's obviously going to be a very tough test, just season long, but I feel like the guards of UNC could have an advantage if they're going to keep this game close. But overall, I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to seeing how this game breaks down. But before I say any more words, I'll let you talk first.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited about this game, too. I think this is one of Bill Self's deepest teams at Kansas. I was reading season preview of Kansas in The Athletic, and quote he said, "We had bad spacing last year. I told the team yesterday what excites me more than anything is we can run a crap offense, which we're going to do, and we still come away with 3 points." Doesn't that say something? Like, that's like Bill Self in his head knows that his offense may not be great, but he has enough talent surrounded, you know, all over his team that, okay, they could still come away with a three-pointer. I mean, for a Bill Self team, I think that's awesome. And if you're a North Carolina, if you're a North Carolina player or an even fan, I think that's scary. Like, you're walking into Allen Fieldhouse, and Bill Self probably has the most confidence in his team. You know, obviously last year didn't work out for Kansas. I mean, they were ups full of ups and downs. But then this year, you know, you have talent, you know, in all nine guys, you know, that they rotate in. And I think that's one thing that is going to play a major role, the depth of Kansas, because UNC lost probably two of its best players last year in Harrison Ingram and Armando Bacot, and they out-rebound Elon 43-40. And then when you have Hunter Dickinson, you have Flory Bodinga, two really good bigs that are just going to rotate in and out. That's scary. That is scary.
Yeah, 100%. And UNC just doesn't have the depth that matches them there. I mean, Flory, you're speaking about him, former five-star recruit Dickinson, was the best, regarded as one of the, if not the best transfer on the portal last year. Did he warrant that? Probably not. But yeah, you mentioned it. Kansas last year had zero depth. They have a lot of depth this year. And I kind of think that's something UNC struggles with, particularly in the front court, obviously, where they were really trying to get guys last second. Like, that's why they ended up picking up Tyjon Claude in like August. And in the back court, it's like, okay, Elliot Cadeau, RJ Davis, Ian Jackson, kind of it. So it's just like, yeah, the depth there isn't great. Kansas is definitely expected to be the better team this year, and Kansas doesn't lose much in Allen Fieldhouse, but I don't know. I just feel like these games early in the season, I don't know if I expect a blowout. The line is like 8. I lean UNC. I don't think it's not going to get my money, but I would lean UNC if someone made me pick.
Yeah, and Kansas is a 7.5-point favorite right now.
Yeah.
One game that I look back to last year is when Kansas hosted UConn. Kansas ended up winning, but you kind of look at that, and that's when Kansas was fully healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when they got into Big 12 play, injuries started piling up, and they just kind of went downhill from there.
And sorry to interrupt, I believe Stephon Castle missed that game.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of a similar situation here. You know, you can't – I just don't think – you can really expect to walk into Allen Fieldhouse and easily get a win. It's not going to happen. And I just think because of the depth issues that North Carolina has, I think we know how good North Carolina's guards are. They'll be able to, you know, score a crap ton of points. They're going to be able to score. They're going to be able to put the ball in the basket with those bigs. There's not a lot of depth there. And that's the one thing that is going to be that's going to play a major role in this game, which is why I think Kansas might, you know, win more by the spread. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting game.
I could definitely see a Kansas blowout. That's well within the range of outcomes, but I don't know. I feel like we get a good RJ Davis game. I feel like the backcourt of UNC will do enough to keep them competitive, but I feel like it'll be one of those games that like UNC is like always around, but like Kansas is kind of in control the entire time.
Yeah, no. And I don't think you can ever count out North Carolina. It's just going to be, this is a big, you know, eye opening possible test game for North Carolina to see where they are, see where they have to, hey, can we compete with the best in the country? Obviously this game could be way different if North Carolina was hosting, but say North Carolina loses by 10 plus, I think that's going to be eye opening. And I think they're going to kind of figure out, all right, these guards can only take us so far. We need to get better in the paint. We need to get better on the boards, because I think that's something that Kansas could possibly expose.
Yeah, agreed.
Tomorrow we have three really intriguing games. Starts, you know, early in the afternoon. Tennessee going on the road to face Louisville. And Tennessee is number 12 in the country. I'm personally kind of just weirdly excited about this game, because I think this is a chance to see if Pat Kelsey has gotten Louisville back to where it had been, you know, in the 2010s. Not obviously all the way back, but on the right track.
Sure.
You know, it's only game two. I'm very aware of that. But this is a great opportunity, you know, for Pat Kelsey and Louisville to show, like, hey, you know, these last 2 years, which were god awful for that Louisville program, hey, are they on the up and coming against a really good Tennessee team?
Yeah, just looking at the spot for me, I don't know. Louisville definitely looked good in their debut. Like, they beat the ever-loving piss out of Moorhead. Terrence Edwards is a star coming from JMU. Pat Kelsey was able to get him to Louisville. You know that guy's just going to be excellent. He was excellent. Chucky Hepburn, definitely some questions with how he fits in at point guard. I didn't love him at Wisconsin, but, like, obviously it's going to be a really interesting test, and he's a talented player. And then in the front court, you have Cason Pryor, stretch four, stretch five, that kind of fits Pat Kelsey's style. Space the floor, and they can really run the floor and just kind of get this game. I think pace in this game is going to be a huge factor, because Louisville, as mentioned, wants to push the hell out of the pace. Tennessee's okay slowing it down and kind of grinding you out defensively. And I think Tennessee is going to be able to do that in this spot. I like Tennessee quite a bit, frankly. I think Zakai Ziegler is going to be a pest. I think he's the best guard in this game. Definitely have some questions with how Chaz Lanier fits into the Tennessee offense against a real test, especially guarding. I don't know if he's going to be tasked with guarding Edwards, or if that's going to be Jemai Mashak, but one of them is going to be. And then in the front court, I just think Tennessee is going to be able to just kind of control the interior, and Louisville's going to have to hit a ton of shots from the outside. I actually like Tennessee quite a bit in this spot. I do not know where the game is being played off the top of my head, which would change things, but I lean Tennessee here.
Yeah, I think it's in Louisville.
That does change. It is. You're right, because Pat Kelsey did the video. Duh. Yeah.
So it's in Louisville. No, but I agree. I think Tennessee has probably one of the best backcourts in the country. Yeah. I mean, Zakai Ziegler is awesome. Mashak can just defend. Both of those two guys, just they play so physically on the defensive end of the ball. Fun fact, Tennessee is 79-28 in the 3 years since Zakai Ziegler and Mashak arrived. That's
pretty good.
That is a lot of wins. And obviously, two big losses for the Tennessee team. Obviously, Dalton Knecht to the NBA and Jonas Adu to Arkansas. But, you know, you have these veterans in Ziegler and Mashak. You know, how good they've been these past 3 years for Rick Barnes. I mean, how can you not rely on them, and how can you not trust them to win these big, maybe not big, but, you know, important early season games against a Louisville team that's up and coming? Like you said, I think Pat Kelsey has kind of surrounded himself with, you know, maybe not the most elite players, but some solid players. Like you said, Pryor, 13 points a game last year at USF. Javon Hadley, 11.6 points per game and 6 rebounds at Colorado. Terrence Edwards, 17.2 points per game at James Madison. We all know what Chucky Hepburn was capable of doing at Wisconsin. Maybe he wasn't the most consistent player, but, you know, there were still games where he looked like a star. Obviously, it's game two, but there's potential in this Cardinals team, and I think Pat Kelsey has kind of proven wherever he goes that he can expand a program, he can get a program better. That's what he did at Charleston. That's what he did at Winthrop, and now he has a chance to do it for a blue blood program at Louisville, and I think this game could possibly open that door to being like, hey, this Louisville program, all right, you know, there's only, you can only go up from where that program was these last 2 years. So I think it's just another phenomenal opportunity for Pat Kelsey to kind of show, hey, I'm a really good coach in this, in the nation. I'm one of the best. I can get your program from the bottom and I can, you know, start making it a lot better. But, you know, obviously you got to win games. It's a perfect opportunity for him.
Yeah, this is the, this is a spot to definitely show, like, we're not the Louisville of Kenny Payne, which was not good. And in their debut, they beat Moorhead by 48 points. They moved up 11 spots in KenPom. Like, that was a performance that it's like, okay, this isn't same old Louisville. Kenny Payne might have lost that game last year, frankly. Just completely different talent level. And it's definitely going to be a fun spot. It's definitely going to be the most fun spot we've had with Louisville since they canned Chris Mack. So, going to be a very exciting game. I'm really looking forward to it, but just in spots like this, I got to take the proven, and Tennessee is proven. Oh, and yeah. Louisville, maybe they are something, but I haven't seen it yet. Aside from the Moorhead game against a team that got rid of their coach because he left for JMU and just lost a lot of the talent they had on that team last year. Like Riley Minix ended up going pro. That it's just like completely different Moorhead team. And I don't think that game proves enough for me to be like, okay, never mind. Louisville's a top 25 team in the country, and Tennessee is.
I think the only two games in the opening week so far that have been like, okay, this team is for real or this team is really bad, is Gonzaga winning by 38 over number 8 Baylor, and then Villanova losing to Columbia on opening night. I think obviously those two programs are in different spots at the moment, but those are two games where you can kind of just tell where most other teams have gotten freebies to open up. And they've either taken advantage or just threw up a donut.
So, yeah, agreed.
And speaking of Gonzaga, the team that they killed on opening night was number 8 Baylor, won by 38, like I said. But now Baylor focuses their attention on Arkansas, newly led John Calipari, head coach of the Razorbacks for Arkansas. Just a... I'm going to redo that real quick. John Calipari leads Arkansas to face number 8 Baylor in Dallas. Baylor obviously opens with that 38-point loss to Gonzaga. Arkansas, I think, did okay. Who'd they play? I think they played, was it Lipscomb?
They played Lipscomb. Lipscomb's good. Lipscomb's good.
Okay. Double-digit win for Arkansas. One player that stood out to me, freshman Boogie Fland. Looked awesome. 17 points, and he went 1 of 8 from 3. Besides the 3-point struggles, I think he'll get that together, obviously. But again, another just good game and another difficult game for Baylor to open up the season.
Yeah, if you are Baylor and you lose a game by 38 points in the opener, you probably just like, all right, we need a couple wins to get back on momentum. Nah, you gotta play Arkansas. So good luck in this spot, but I don't know. I also thought Jonell Davis, the FAU transfer, played really well for Arkansas. I heard something that he might have been hurt, so he didn't look hurt, I'll tell you that much. And he played really well. Just those two, DJ Wagner, you clearly have talent in this backcourt. And Adu Thierro is a very important, versatile piece for them. You're going to need him to be really active defensively, especially in a game like this where he's probably guarding VJ Edgecombe, who's not having two bad games in a row. We saw him play with the Bohemian National Team. He's not having two bad games in a row.
Yeah, no. I think kind of going off that, you know, VJ Edgecombe's not going to shoot 2 of 11 every game.
Yeah.
Even their backcourt. Baylor shot 37% from the floor. They made only 3 3-pointers against Gonzaga. I mean, obviously, you know, you hear that stat and you're like, are you serious? And Jaden Nunn, Jeremy Roach, and Edgecombe combined to go 7 of 28 from the floor. I don't think that's going to happen again for the rest of the season. You just don't see that. I mean, it's opening night yips, you know? It's like, it's pretty much opening night yips. Were you surprised to see it? I definitely think that was a surprise. But it was opening night. It was game one. I think this is a bounce back for Baylor. I think they come out and show that, hey, all right, you know, that Gonzaga performance was a fluke. We are still one of the best teams in the country. And I think they either win or keep it close against Arkansas. That's my...
Yeah, I think Baylor wins this game. Just feels like a good spot to me. I don't know. I feel like it feels like back in Texas. It's not like technically a home game, but like it's closer to Baylor than it. At least I think it is. I do not know Texas geography. I will not lie. But experience with Jeremy Roach, Norchad O'Meara, those guys. I mean, they've definitely been on the wrong side of some games like that. They know how to come back from it. You get a guy like Vijay Ashkum, just the talent there. And Baylor is a solid program. The defense is definitely a worry. I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game. I'm taking Baylor in the spot. I think you're going to beat Arkansas. Boogie Flynn looked great. Jonas Adu is going to be impactful in the interior, but I think North Chad's going to be fine. That's kind of a very interesting matchup and how those two guys go against each other. I do think the Baylor guards are going to have a better game. These teams I don't think are great defensively. So I think it's going to take them a little bit of time to figure that out. I think this game could be pretty high scoring, but I am going to take Baylor in the spot, get a bounce back. There's a very large chance this looks really stupid. Like Baylor could just get whooped and just be not nearly as good as I expected, but I don't expect that to happen.
One thing that confused me about the Arkansas's opening game against Lipscomb is that Jonas Adu only played 4 minutes.
Yeah, that was weird.
He only played 4 minutes, and I know he's one of the better defenders on Arkansas, and he only played 4 minutes. I don't know if it was injury. I don't know if it was just matchup-wise, but yeah. I definitely think you expect to kind of see him get more of a role against this Baylor team on Saturday. Staying in Texas, Auburn travels to Houston to face the Houston Cougars. Good old Kelvin Sampson. They just dominated in their opening game. Both Houston and Auburn dominated in their opening games. Auburn-wise, Miles Kelly, 21 points off the bench in their opener against Vermont. Johnny Broome's back. JP Pegues comes over from Furman. I mean, this Auburn team looks really, really good.
Yeah, this game is going to be an absolute slugfest. This is probably the one I'm most excited for this weekend. These are the number one and number two teams on KenPom, I think for good reason. Two might be a little high for Auburn, but like they're in that same conversation. Jhené Broome, in my full disclosure, I bet him to win National Player of the Year at 50-1 over the summer. I think he is really, really good. I think just Auburn has so many athletes surrounding him and so many good players that he's probably not going to put up the counting stats, but man, he is so good. He hit a step back three last game as a 6'10 center. This guy started his career at Morehead State, by the way. He is an absolute star. And I think this is a game where it could be a real showcase spot for him, or Houston's bigger are just relentless on the glass. So they could just kind of bully him. So I'm really interested to see how Auburn matches up with Houston athleticism and physicality. I think this game is going to be ugly. Guys are going to be diving on the floor for everything, but the athleticism up front of Auburn, or in the backcourt of Auburn, is going to cause some serious problems, and Houston's physicality down low will also cause some serious problems. I could see this game going either way. Game's in Houston, so I'm going to lean Houston, but man, I'm really excited for this one. This game could go so many different ways, and I'm really looking forward to it, and looking forward to seeing if LJ Cryer, if Milo Susan, Malik Wilson, Emmanuel Sharp can take that next step, not having a Jamal Shedd, and how that works out for them. But I got Auburn in the spot, but man, Auburn's going to provide a really tough test, and I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a theme last year where when Auburn was winning, they would win by a lot. 26 of their 27 wins last year came by double digits. I mean, they could just turn it on and dominate teams. Now, do they face kind of Houston-caliber teams in the SEC? Sure. I mean, the SEC was really, really good last year, but I mean, Houston, just each and every year, they just bring a solid defensive team that will just cause nightmares for you on offense. I mean, it's one thing that Kelvin Sampson always just delivers. And one thing that, you know, you notice is that last year, Houston had three players who averaged double digits. Obviously, they led the country in defense. They allowed the fewest points per game. But, you know, just the ability to, you don't need that much scoring. They're just going to out-hustle you. They're going to just make you tired on the defensive end. They will, like I said, they will cause nightmares. And for that to happen each and every year, it's just impressive. Like three guys last year only averaged double digits. They had their highest scoring scorer was LJ Cryer. I think he averaged like 15 and a half points. Not even over 16 points. And the two other guys were Shedd, Emmanuel Sharp. And they were both 12.9 and 12.6 points per game, respectively. That is not a lot. and they were still able to get 30 plus wins in the Big 12. They only lost three Big 12 games during the regular season. They just wear you down on the defensive end. And I think that's what makes Kelvin Sampson just a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, it's the program. Defensively, they're excellent every single year. They just get guys that fit their identity, and they play a slow pace, and they are just relentless on the offensive glass. They're going to get 5, 6, 7 rebound possessions like once in a blue moon, but like they are just absolutely relentless on the offensive glass. They're sending everybody there. They're just, I mean, they are looking to just absolutely swarm you and break you as the game goes on. And I'm really interested to see how Auburn's, because Auburn's kind of the same way. They're constructed similarly, not the exact same, but like very similarly. So I'm really interested to see how this game goes. This one's going to be fun.
Well, I think both teams last year just played amazing defense. Like Auburn ranked number one in 2-point defense, number one in effective field goal percentage defense, and sixth in adjusted defensive efficiency. And then you have both of these programs going up against each other. Like you said, it's going to be just a battle. It's going to be a fight. I would probably say that this could be the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, I would, without a doubt.
And I was thinking about this before the episode. Like, if Jamal Shedd doesn't go down against Duke, you know, how far do they go? You know, they battled against Texas A&M, got that win, and then obviously Shedd goes down, and they kind of just look deflated without him. He was such a main role just a main role on that Houston team. And to see him go down, it's kind of like, all right, what if Shedd doesn't go down? Do they beat Duke? Do they end up beating NC State? Do they go to the Final Four and, you know, possibly get that national title that Houston has been so close to so many times? So definitely a good game coming.
Yes, they beat Duke. Yes, they beat NC State. No, they do not win the title. You're welcome.
Yeah, well, UConn probably beats them anyway. So. Yeah. They were just too good last year. Anyway, we'll talk about two brief things that happened this week. Ryan Kalkbrenner, the center phenom at Creighton, scored 49 points. Mike, what did you take away from that performance?
Yeah, he was excellent. UTRGV doesn't have a ton of size inside. They were running a 6'8 big. They were able to space the floor, which caused Creighton substantial problems on the defensive end. But offensively, literally, it was just throw the ball to Kalkbrenner and he was scoring every single time. Excellent touch, was able to get over that left shoulder just about every time. Right-hand hooks, it was just money. He was excellent. He was getting position. The guys were getting him the ball, and he hit a couple, like, threes. It's like, oh, my God, if he's able to do that, Jesus. Yeah, he looked absolutely excellent. Definitely some concerns with the rest of the Creighton team, but, man, that is probably the best individual performance we're going to see, maybe even all season. He was just excellent. He literally could do no wrong. Like, if he's scoring at that level with what he brings defensively, just that solid floor that you're not scoring on him, he walls up well and he doesn't foul. He was able to play almost all the entire game, and they needed him to. And not only that, he's playing the entire game while touching the ball every single time down. He's not taking a rest possession. He's battling for position, getting the ball, hook shot, getting the ball, step back, stepping out to hit a three-point jumper, whatever it was. He was just flawless. And yeah, that is a respect earned performance.
Yeah. And then quickly before we go, Villanova loses to Columbia. And I think that just shows where that program is with Kyle Neptune. Mm-hmm. Just has never been able to get a marquee win. They always have an ugly loss. It's just, you know, for that program to go from Jay Wright to Kyle Neptune, I think, have they ever fired a coach midseason? I don't know. But I think it's coming pretty close to the end of the Kyle Neptune era up in Philly. So,
yeah, this season to me felt kind of like it just kind of felt inevitable that this just wasn't going to work out. You're going to talk yourself into Villanova because the roster does have some talent. Like, Eric Dixon's a top 25, at bare minimum, top 15 player in the country. Uga Poplar, solid second fiddle. You have, like, enough talent on the roster, but, yeah, you just can't trust the coach. And playing back Monday, Wednesday, Friday, obviously it was to get Dixon back so you could play him against St. Joe's, but it turns out he was only spending one game, and you did get an excellent Eric Dixon game, and it just didn't matter. Like, it just did not matter. So, yeah, this
90 points to Columbia. 90 yeah. points to Columbia.
Like, they got completely outplayed in this game. Columbia was scoring at will, and Columbia didn't look great in their opener. So, yeah, this was just a bad performance from Villanova. And, yeah, I don't know. You think you keep letting Neptune ride it out. And they have gotten quality wins over the years. Like, they beat UNC. They won the Battle for Atlantis last year. And then they came back and lost all three games in the Big Five. They got sixth place in a competition called the Big Five. So, I don't know. It's just this felt inevitable, but I didn't think it would happen this early. I kind of thought Villanova was going to cruise in these first three games, and then they lose to St. Joe's, and they lose a dumb game to Virginia, one of those two, and something like that. But no, they lost a game to Columbia, a team that, all things considered, I mean, maybe makes the Ivy League tournament.
Who knows? Well, another action-packed weekend of college basketball. Definitely more to come. Mike and Beans will be back on Monday for recap all these exciting games this weekend. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Thanks, Mike.
You peace.